going to do this with a group of institutions and individuals, and that is to really focus on the vitamin D deficiency epidemic. So she'll tell us about her systemic work and as well as what we can do to get the message out. Carol?
All right, are you ready? You are? Well, all right, then goodbye. Get to work. My first question of you. Actually, I've already asked you my first question. I had the pleasure of talking to a number of you before we started our sessions to find out why you're here. And I appreciate your input on that. But now I have another question for you. How many of you have either had cancer, your wives, husbands, family members have had cancer, or know a friend who's had cancer? Is there anybody who has not? Wow. I have that kind of shivery, goosebumpy feeling. This is the first audience I've had out of hundreds across the U.S. where 100% of you raised your hand. Every single person in this room has been affected by cancer, as have I. Just imagine hearing these lectures, not just these three in a couple of hours, but two full days of this type of information from researchers all over the world. And the message was the same. With increased vitamin D levels in our blood, we have a much, much, much better chance of avoiding cancer entirely. And you're sitting there listening to this as a person remembering very clearly crawling across the room to get to the bathroom because you couldn't stand up because you've just gotten home from a chemo treatment. Just imagine you're sitting there as a person 5 years or more after cancer treatment who has an ongoing problem with lymphedema, which is an unusual or ongoing, very painful swelling of the arm, usually due to destruction of the lymphatic system due to radiation or surgery. And you're hearing that this disease could have been avoided. How do you feel? Can you have any sense at all of how angry you would feel? I just gave presentations all across the United States, and the title of the presentation was what I thought my question had been. Vitamin D prevents cancer and other diseases. Is it true? I gave this presentation to more than 1,000 people trying to find out what did they want to hear, what were their questions, what did they think the conflict was, and the import of what does it take to get the message out. The biggest question I got, there were two, throughout this whole tour were, why didn't I know about this? Okay? The second question, which astonished me the first time I heard it, and by the second time I heard it, and the third time and the fourth time I heard it, I wasn't astonished anymore, but it was pathetic anyway, was, how do I get my doctor to do this test? I've asked for it, and what they've said is, you don't need it. All right? You're okay. In other words, they don't know. All right? They just don't know. I came back from this tour in September. We were gone for 3 months touring the United States and came back trying to then put together for presentation to you and for us and for reality's sake, here's what we're going to do to change that picture, to change the idea that I didn't know about it. I'm sorry, you're going to know about it. Everybody's going to know about it before we're through, all right? And I've got that many years left. I really do, because I take my vitamin D, of course. All right, let's take a look at some of the things here. I have nothing to disclose, unfortunately. I thought about trenches when I was putting this together for you. This is the first trench I thought about. I mean, that's kind of an ordinary trench. And then I saw this one and I broke out laughing and I thought, that's how I feel sometimes. I'm out here digging a hole and I just am a little small for this shovel. This is my favorite. This is the power picture. This is what I'd like it to be like. I'm in charge. This, on the other hand, is probably reality. I was running all over the United States carrying a banner about vitamin D. And from time to time, I think I probably looked a little bit like this. All right. What we're planning to do today is take a look at what does it take, essentially, to get the message out. And what gets people's attention, and where do we start? Because by the time you leave here today, I want a commitment from you before I let you out the door, and I'm going to run real fast so you don't get to go out before me, is you're going to help get this message out. You're not going to get out the door without it, or else I'm going to have to find out why. Now, you know that old joke about to a hammer, everything looks like a nail? Well, I'm an educator. Guess what? The three steps for a public health intervention are education, education, and education. I mean, how dull can you get? Of the general public, of healthcare professionals, and of what I've loosely called institutions. This one I wanted to show you for information's sake because it was our most popular. Well, I've got two slides. I'm going to slow you. I'm going to show you. Very popular on our tour. So you have some reference point for what we're talking about when we start talking about serum levels. That very first, all you got to do is look at the red bars. The first one on the left, the level there is 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter, essentially. That's old world primate measures. The one immediately next to that is pretty much the same level, and that's your lifeguard level. It makes some logical sense to say, hey, that's probably where we ought to be, right? It's there. It's in the history, and it's what people can produce. The next one is 43 degrees north is New Yorkish, right? It's kind of in that territory there. In their lifetime, about 16, maybe 20 nanograms per milliliter is what you see in that region, which is pretty much lower than the 40 to 60 we're aiming for, and you've already heard that. If you take 1,000 IU a day, you'll pump it up about 10 nanograms per milliliter. And that last one, northern people taking 4,000 IU a day, that was people in Toronto. So with all due respect to my Canadian counterpart, they got to take a lot to get up to that 40 to 60 level. This chart, don't worry about the details. I want you to look at left and right. That's it. You got that? Left is over here. Right is over here. Right? On the left, what we see down there at the far bottom is the serum level it takes to prevent rickets. We got that solved. Not that we do it, but we know how to do it, all right? Up across the top, and by the way, there are printouts of these pages on the back table, or at least there were when you came in, and I hope you take one, and if you don't get one or want one, please stop by our booth. We're here. We got lots of them. At any rate, we got the rickets thing pretty well under control. We know about it. We know how to prevent it. That solid black line, slightly to the right of that, is just a baseline, a comparison level. It's at 25 nanograms per milliliter. That's our starting point. All those other things, those colored things on the right, those are evidences of different diseases. Each bar represents a different disease. This is at about 32 nanograms per milliliter. That used to be what your doctor might say, you're fine. Don't worry about anything else. And that was based primarily on bones. And it's still fine for bones. But look at all the diseases we got on the right side. We haven't solved them. We haven't dealt with them. And I need to take care of them. So I need to push my serum level over here and here. Those boundaries, those last two vertical lines there are 40 and 60 nanograms per milliliter. If we got our serum levels there, we would be able to prevent anywhere from 83 to 60% of almost every single major disease listed on that page. And those pages, as Cedric and everybody has already mentioned, include breast cancer, colon cancer, multiple sclerosis, type 1 diabetes, right? And it goes on. And that's all we're asking. For the general public, as I talked to many and many, many, many general public people, their questions were gut-wrenching. The real issue, as I heard them, was pain and suffering. Money's nice, okay? But the real thing they came to talk about, the questions that they asked me in these presentations, was about the impact of pain and suffering in their lives. Imagine another imagination for me, right? If we really could prevent 25, we can start low. Bill's very conservative, by the way. I respect his conservatism. I happen to be on the other end, so between the two of us, we kind of meet somewhere, all right? Imagine you can prevent 50% of cancer. Imagine the pain that wouldn't have to happen. Imagine the quality of life. Imagine the energy that these people would have that wouldn't have been sapped by either the disease or the treatment. What would happen to the society? You'd have a whole bunch of crazy Carol Baggerlys running around the country waving a vitamin D flag, probably. At any rate, it's enormous. The public feels it. What to do with the disease now is the second question that they asked. All right? They're very aware of the pain and suffering. They don't want these diseases for their children, for their grandchildren, for their relatives, for their friends. They care immensely. The other question that came up again and again and again was, I've already had it. What can I do now? The research is not as strong there as we'd like to see it. On the other hand, all the evidence that has been presented, and you've seen some of it today, all the evidence that has been presented says it can halt it in its tracks in many cases. So for goodness sakes, the recommendation is still get your vitamin D serum level up and let it do its best thing that you can do to help prevent a recurrence of whatever disease it is. How much? 2,000 IU a day. That is, by the way, I have to come to that second point very thing. It has little stars on it, but it should have that kind of music. Doom-da-doom-da-doom-da-doom-da-doom-da-doom says who? The most powerful tool that I took with me on my trip was a consensus document signed by 16 so far of the world's most renowned vitamin D practitioners and researchers that, listen to this word, agreed. Oh, I get a gold star. They agreed. I said, I can't take this trip. I can't do a public health promotion. I can't do anything until there is an agreement on what we're going to tell people, all right? To go out and tell people, hey, guys, you got to get your serum level up, isn't going to cut it. I got to tell them to where and how much. They said, fine, and they did it. So the recommendation to the general public was 2,000 IU a day. Go take it. It's safe. It's okay. It's cheap. And if you can afford it and or please do give it a try, get your serum level to between 40 and 60 nanograms per ml. That's it. That's my total message today. My whole rest of my message today is get with it. Help me. Help us all. What to ask for. There's a test, the 25-hydroxyMD. How to get your doctor to take the test or to do the test. We have some items on our website, again, that you had back there, that chart is a powerful tool for communication, as well as, excuse me, I didn't mean to go backwards on you here. Anyways, take some of those tools with you. Doctors are very open, by the way. We have had one medical professional seminar, and they're very open. They just need to know. And providing them tools, even from patient to doctor, works very, very well. healthcare professionals. Their focus is a little bit different. They're still very personally concerned with the disease, but they were much more interested in disease specificity. As a result of doing our seminar, our test seminar in April, they said, what I want to see with the next seminar is I want you to talk about diabetes. I want you to talk about breast cancer. I want you to talk about cardiovascular disease as topics all by themselves. I don't want you to lump them all together because I'm a cardiologist, because I'm whatever I am, all right? So that's how we put together our seminar. Announcements of those are also at our booth. At any rate, the physician's concern is a little different than the general public, and they're also very concerned about the magnitude, very concerned about the magnitude, the size. They also are concerned about and interested in the mechanisms of action, any risks or interactions, and there are a few there, but they're minor. I mean, they're very well known. And again, what's my target? What am I aiming for? The reference range is 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. Okay, guys, this is a test. What's the reference range?
40.
Yay! What is the level being recommended for the general public? You pass. You get gold stars. Healthcare professionals, every department I talked to was excited, but then who would come to a presentation who wasn't interested, okay? I'm sure I had a very biased audience, but we had some great audiences for absolutely every one of those. My pediatric group was actually pediatric practice. They had a whole bunch of doctors in a pediatric office, and they were so excited about doing something with their mothers, with their children, and it was the most excited group that I had. Institutions, from Boeing to Walmart, to the American Public Health Association, still at what I would consider an awareness stage, which means caution, which means I'm not ready to take real big action yet, which is normal, all right? So if you are a big company, I come from big companies. If you are a big company, where does innovation come from? Does it come from within your company, usually?
No.
No! Sorry, had to override that one. It comes from spin-off small companies, okay? That's why I'm here. That's why you're here today. Because individuals, small groups, are going to carry this effort to the next stage, when the big guys will start to pay attention and then pick up the ball and keep it rolling for the next decade. But I guarantee you, I'm not going to sit back and wait for them because my life's at stake, as well as my daughters, my granddaughters, and my friends. So we can't wait. Where to start? Again, we are, and this is, a bottoms-up movement at this point in history. Start with your family, start with your friends. What do you give them? There's a very simple card that we have. I'll give you for free, gobs of them. It says 2,000 IU and 40 to 60 nanograms per milliliter. There's a scientist letter which says, here's a consensus document. There's this prevention chart. Email, call, visit. Do you know that right now I know that I have a reach of more than 10,000 people? 10,000 out of my trip, out of which I know I saw 1,000 personally? It's because I know that they did that email, and I know that they sent it because they keep logging onto my website. Okay, local offices. Again, we're talking small businesses. A privately owned medical office of any kind, I'm not meaning to specialize in acupuncture or chiropractic, and the same kind of materials and a brief presentation. Seminars, sessions, and to all of this, we're adding a 5-year major study of people that enroll to be monitored for that 5 years so we can give feedback. I thank you, and how many people are going to take action? Yay for you! Thank you so much.
Great! Carol is a wonderful cheerleader. She was in Boston, so thank you. Now, let's hear your questions. All right, we'll start here.
I take this to heart, and I take it more to heart because I have a friend who actually initiated the first Secondly, I'm going to move back from Seattle to San Diego. I've been taking 2,000 units for about a year and a half. I bought up before, under your supervision, I guess. But I guess my point is that this is one of those things that comes along and you kind of go, wait a minute, this is too easy. I mean, just Dr. Brownell's numbers, they're just too dramatic. How can we believe this? And we are at that stage. We're just sort of at the, whoa, can this be real? And if it turns out 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now that it wasn't real, and wow, with all the cancers and all these other illnesses we're talking about were prevented and maybe even multiplied. And I'm wondering about, my question really is about that. What is the effect on multiple sclerosis? Because that's just a disastrous disease. Very little treatment for it. I've got three friends with it. And do we have any data at all about what the effect is on not prevention as much as intervention?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you for your questions. And let's be brief because we have a short time.
I don't know how to be brief.
All right. Well, next time.
Okay. The biggest effect of vitamin D on multiple sclerosis is preventing it, probably by reducing the risk of Epstein-Barr virus. However, once one develops it, there are two studies I'm aware of, one from Germany, one from San Diego, which showed that people with multiple sclerosis have fewer lesions and other adverse effects in the summer than in the winter, and that can only be due to vitamin D. So it's sort of, I don't think there's been a randomized controlled trial of vitamin D. But also the vitamin D helps, I think, move the cytokine response from Th1 to Th2. And I think that means less inflammation.
Okay, thank you.
I have two questions. First of all, how many does the RDA increase for vitamin D? It's pathetically low. In fact, they don't allow us. The second thing is, how many get vitamin D packet? Right now it's 1,000 international units. That's as big as I can get. I live in Connecticut. I'm an obstetrician. I was lucky enough to get a lecture from Dr. Pollack about 2 years ago when they're doing vitamin D in pregnancy because breastfeeding mothers who breastfeed, they're vitamin D deficient, the babies are vitamin D.
Exactly.
We're trying to go upstream
in that approach.
You want to talk?
The pregnant
women to get
their vitamin D
in the pregnancy. Also, do we know if vitamin D is safe in the first trimester? Okay. Well, you ask a great question about what we can do about the recommended daily intake. It's going to be reviewed very soon, and whether it's changed or not depends on the composition of the committee. And if the committee consists of people who are interested in the new era of prevention of disease with vitamin D, then it will go up. It's only at 200 now for most adults. It will go up considerably. It should be up tenfold. But if it's the same old, then it won't go up at all. And it's going to rest on the decision of members of the National Academy of Sciences who are currently considering who they want to be included on the committee and whether they're looking for the promise of prevention or whether they just want to keep with the standard methods. In terms of the first trimester of pregnancy, vitamin D is safe throughout pregnancy. And there are two studies from Finland that show that if the mother has adequate levels of vitamin D consistent with 2,000 IU a day, that her child will be less likely to have type 1 diabetes. So if anything, it helps prevent a childhood or congenital disease, and we've known about use of it in many countries for a long time, in which there's no indication that it would be harmful during any part of pregnancy. If anything, it would be beneficial.
Great. The lady right here, back here?
My question was similar to the other
person. Okay.
And I've been involved in doing that for a couple of years. And also in mental health, nobody talked about it here today, but there's some evidence about vitamin D deficiency as a cause of depression, and some evidence that vitamin D deficiency
Great.
I think it's the most important public health discovery in the last 100 years of this, history.
Thank you. Dr. B, did you still have a question? No. You'll pass. Great, thanks. Over here? Yes.
Yeah, my question is, you talk about taking the 2,000 IU a day, which is the upper limit of the RDA, and 4,000 with medical testing. Now, considering that most of the physicians, at least my physician, probably would never test me and never recommend 4,000, but if I was to take 4,000, what should I be concerned about?
Well, the concern is that the upper limit of the National Academy of Sciences now is 2,000 international units per day, so that we're in less officially charted territory when we go above that, although there is evidence suggesting that 4,000 international units for many people is closer to the optimal level. What most providers would look for would be the level of 25-hydroxyvitamin D in the serum, ideally measured in March when it reaches the lowest point, to ensure that that lowest point isn't lower than the 40 to 60 nanogram per ml range. There might also be a test in the fall when it's highest to make sure that it isn't excessively high, although that's far less important actually for most people than ensuring that it isn't excessively low. At the same time, it would be worthwhile during the fall to measure the serum calcium and the serum ionized calcium, just as a general precaution that over a long period of time, there's not an increase in calcium in case someone happens to be very sensitive. And because an increase in calcium above normal limits would constitute a mild form of toxicity, and very much above normal limits could be life-threatening. But these are very rare occurrences, and for the most part, we're saying this now pending reevaluation of that upper limit, which may well turn out to be 4,000 international units within the next few years.
Thank you. We had, yes? This is the last question because we'll have to stop because of time, but you can still have the conversation.
Well, in terms of causality, Robert Koch and A.B. Hill have talked about how you go from association to causality in a biological system, and there are a lot of criteria you use. Use things like strength of association, reproducibility in multiple studies, understanding the mechanisms, ruling out confounding factors, experiments like randomized controlled trials, temporal, one follows the other. And vitamin D in cancer study now satisfies all those criteria, at least for the breast and colon and rectal cancer, probably ovarian cancer, and several others. In terms of diet, yes, for example, there was the Armstrong and Dahl study back in 1975 in which almost every cancer was linked to a high animal fat diet. And it took a long time for the Harvard cohort study to confirm that because they were starting with women over the age of 35 or men over the age of 35. But the diet, high animal product diet early in life, generates a lot of insulin-like growth factor and hormone, estrogen and so on. And when Harvard finally started looking at the younger age women, they found the link between animal products and breast cancer and colon cancer risk. Tofu, well, it turns out in the older Japanese diet, only about 10 to 15% of the energy was from animal products, and a lot of that was from seafood, which has a lot of omega-3 oils and vitamin D. So it's not so much the tofu that had anything to do with it, but that it was a lot of vegetable products and seafood and very little animal products, sugar and dairy and so on in the diet that was the benefit there. So as they come to the West, they do get, each generation does get more. So it's a complicated story. You have to look at a number of factors, but the vitamin D story, it seems to meet every challenge that's thrown at it so far.
Okay, thank you very much. Let's thank our panel, and thank you very, very much. All right. You guys did it. You did it.
Fabulous. What is the pharmaceutical industry growing up?
Hi.
Well, they would like to make some kind of fancy vitamin D called an analog, or they could secure the patent.
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, great.
This is awesome.
should have a California crowd. So I talked to Carol and asked her, could you pull together one piece of California to help us with the presentation? Because we did it last year for the first time. So the only item of discussion are the any papers, the only papers. We had about 68, and that's why they decided to give us a bigger room, because last year we had a mini room. Yeah, we're more this time, so that's it. So we'll keep doing it. So that's the good part of it. Okay. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Fabulous. I'm the CEO at
Yeah.
Oh, you got it, yeah.
Which is a non-profit.
A lot of things on it.
Well, not to you. And
And there are so many different factors right now. I mean, we don't recommend it the way that once did. Things are changing so much. And so things may go.
So I'm going to be there.
I can get the dosage. It turned out that people went on that and we were.
Well, I want to get there.
hydro. Probably.
This was really the best.
Good.
I went after months for years, but
I didn't realize I was going to
that was all. They were all torture.
I'm a kid. Oh, yeah. I all that.
Yeah. Really? You just came out and talked down to the